Welcome to The World We Deserve, the officially unofficial podcast for True Detective on Bald Move. Nope, on HBO. Wherever. You can get it on Bald Move, too. Got a license. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
I'm also very tired. We did a 24-hour marathon stream for charity this weekend, and it's still kicking my ass, man. But we're here to talk about Season 4, Episode 4 of True Detective Night Country. This is our instant take. Instantly tell me what you thought of this episode, Aaron.
We're hiding in the night country now, Jim.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the night country.
Did I usually bounce back within the 24 hours because, first of all, I'd be remiss if I did not say, Bald Move community, give yourself a hand, a round of applause. With your help, we raised what will surely be just over, if not more so, over $37,000 for the Cure Alzheimer's Fund with our little 24-hour Spider-Man marathon. It was a blast. Jim, you did a hell of a job with the layout and the looks. And Eric and Levi did a hell of a job with the production. And the community did a hell of a job with the coming in the donos. We'll be having a wrap-up podcast where we talk to with the people of the Cure Al's Fund. But I'm just really super proud and kind of floating on high. But usually I go to sleep at about 1, get up at like 6, and then like kind of push through a normal evening, get back to sleep at, you know, 9 or 10. I fucked up. I slept into like 10 o'clock that night. Yeah. And then I was up late. And then it's like today, I'm going to need another day or two to get back. So I'm in the night country. But I thought this was an action-packed episode. With some really interesting dynamics, some really understated acting. I think really gave Team Rationality a boost in the arm because like it's like there is just a lot of psychological underlying trauma with Officer Navarro and her family, and that's where a lot of this stuff is coming from. What do you think of this episode?
It kind of surprises me to hear you say it's action-packed. I didn't think there was a ton of action in this one, although I mean things happened. It was more around like relationships and how people feel about themselves and the people around them, and I'm like,
oh yeah.
But I found myself in the middle of it going, man, I could just sit here and watch 7 hours of this right now. But I really liked the episode. But action-packed is not how I would describe it.
You're right. I wouldn't say action-packed in like a John Wick sense of the word. Action-packed in like Navarro's sister commits suicide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Hank is suffering this humiliation. And Liz goes over to try to jump Connolly's bones. And they get in this long, drawn-out fight. And Liz's daughter gets, you know, spray paints a bunch of graffiti and then runs out like that. I mean, that's a lot. There's a lot of events. This was an eventful episode. Is that something that we can agree on?
It was eventful. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And like we found a bunch of bizarre stuff about like, you know, the bones being in the background of this ice cave. There's no ice cave around Annie's body. But there's one guy that mapped out some kind of hidden dangerous ice caves, and he shows up at the end with Clark's pink jacket on and Quahog. I can't remember. Quidditch.
Yeah.
Ran off and left a spiral in a shack. Where do we want to start?
I don't know what the spiral means yet. I feel like it's a good thing, though. Like, you don't want to know what the spiral means until the end, right?
No, but it does mean that these station guys were up to some shady shit, right? Like, it sounds like it's not. I wanted to believe Clark was an isolated example of, like, you know, he's just the one guy that lost his mind on the ice. But I don't know if the Quidditch guy was in on the spiral stuff, and this Otis guy was in on the spiral stuff, and Clark was in on it, like. And the one director wakes up screaming she's awake. Maybe they all just went in and like, you know, a Hale Bopp type cult weirdo thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. where, you know, you go out there and the you hear something calling to you and you fold your clothes and you walk out to it and your ears pop and you gouge your eyes out and bite yourself and then die. It's probably see ghosts and shit and then die, you know?
Interesting detail with Navarro's sister taking her clothes off, folding them neatly.
Uh-huh.
Top of her shoes like that. And,
I
and
noticed.
Then, Evangeline with the other symptom, the bleeding ears, as if there's a pressure change.
Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't biting herself or scratching her eyes out, so maybe there's hope for her, but...
But Liz was there, and, yeah, like, if our theory is that we had this massive pressure change, as was so helpfully calculated out in last week's feedback, I didn't see any evidence of that tonight.
No. No, I couldn't tell you how her ears got popped, but yeah, clearly they are. I don't know. I do you think Evangeline's going to be able to tell her why, anything about what's happened, or is she just going to be basically comatose?
Well, even if she wasn't comatose, I was super disappointed to see Evangeline like denying, you know, we found out that thing that, I mean, we know for sure because we saw from Evangeline's perspective, but she saw some kind of ghost or apparition during the Wheeling case. And I'm feeling more and more good about my body language analysis of, you know, Jodie Foster. I think Navarro was the one that probably shot the Wheeler guy. But like, yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. Cause I mean, boy, they got nothing out of Lund.
They got nothing out of Otis. These guys are just like fried in the brain.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Do you think Evangeline's fried in the brain? Is she going to have the brain scramblies coming out of this situation here? Is she going to be able to tell her anything? I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait, obviously, until next week to see. But that's kind of my biggest question is how do they proceed from here with Evangeline being kind of part of this now?
I'm getting reports that my volume is low. Can we goose that up on the transmission?
Yeah. Yeah. How's that?
We'll see. We'll see what chat says. Keep an eye on it, Alpha. What did you think about the power cut analysis?
The power cut analysis? That the power was cut?
At the Salal station and the ice caves. I felt like that was... I don't know. It was asserted with confidence, but I'm not sure if I bought like that you can tell that, you know, and what kind of MO is that? I mean, it still seems like it sounded like a monster was in there with her, and I'm assuming it's the polar bear.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, it's as good a guess as any, I suppose. The power cut out before the phone did. I honestly don't even know why those videos end where they do, because nobody's pressing the button to end the video.
Yeah,
like ham sandwich guy is not turning around and pressing his phone. He's looking at the weirdo. Annie is getting attacked. She's not turning that video off, you know.
Yeah, it's like an EMP happens.
Right, it has to be.
And wait, her phone does continue with the screaming and all that past the quote unquote power cut, but the one dude's didn't.
Oh, does it? I didn't know.
I think so, because like they watch and like seems like that screaming stuff goes on and on, but maybe they're just like rocking it back and forth, recycling it. Chat, can I get a ruling on that? I felt like when they watched at the hospital last episode, and we saw Liz kind of obsessing over this week, that there was a lot of screaming past the power cut, but. You're right, at the Slough station, it just like seemed like it just cut, done.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know.
Yeah. It did give them an excuse to go. I don't know. That's the first part of the investigation I felt a little loosey-goosey. Like, where did you get this? And also, like, I thought it was interesting that, yeah, Navarro and Pete kind of just, like, bust into this guy's shack. I don't know if what the legality of that, but I think we're well off the map of legality. Navarro's going around beating the piss out of people, getting beat up,
yeah.
No charges being pressed. Liz Danvers is driving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The polar bear is real, more than Navarro has seen it. So Danvers ran into it this episode. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of happy to see that when Liz crashes her car. I was like, oh boy, are they going to show me an empty road here? Nope. Yeah. Nope. The thing walks up, looks at her, walks away.
Gives her a sniff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was that about? I mean, if we want to attribute some kind of like personality to the bear, bear comes up and just looks at her for a little bit.
Get it together, lady. You're a mess. Yeah. It's Christmas Eve. This was a dark. This was one of the darker Christmas Eve episodes I've ever seen. You've got Navarro's sister running off committing suicide and all the death imagery that comes with that. You've got Liz trying her best to ruin Pete's life, you know, on Christmas. And then Pete dumps a whole bunch of like dark shit with his, you know, implying that, you know, he got her pregnant young. She had other plans. She kind of locked her down and is like full of regret for the way things have turned out. That was really sad. Hank, as much as I think he's a complete shitbag, hard to watch. Hard to watch him try to just completely ignore his feelings, and then seeing the bottle of champagne, and then the stuffed animal he had for her, and then the one on the bed with the flower petals. Do you think he's still in a delusional state about what's going on here, or do you think he's just trying to make put on a brave face for his son?
Yeah, he's saving face. I think he knows. The way he changes the subject immediately when his son says, "You didn't send her any money, did you?"
Yeah, well, I think he's embarrassed about it, but I also think if she texts him next episode and be like, "Oh, darling, I got trouble at the border. They're so corrupt. They wouldn't let my they need another $1,000." I bet he sends it. I bet he fucking sends it.
He might. Seems pretty dumb too. I definitely found myself going, do I feel bad for this guy? He's a piece of shit, but yeah, I kind of do. So
I did too. He is a piece of shit. I did feel, I don't know. I guess I got too much empathy. Now go watch him. You like be complicit in the murder of some of these young women, and I'll feel like a complete fucking asshole again. But
yeah.
It is wild that this was not conceived as a True Detective project, kind of like as an equal and opposite of season one of True Detective, because there are so many freaking parallels. Like Navarro going and confronting this these kind of shit heels is so reminiscent of like Marty beating up those kids. They weren't kids; they're like 20-year-old dudes that got into a sexually compromised situation with his daughter, who was like 16 at the time, and he gives the famous, you know, man's game charges a man's prices, and just beats the piss out of them in their jail cell. These kind of extra legal, you know, Liz getting his completely fucked up beyond all reason. I get being kind of like, you know, unable to form human relationships, being hypercritical of other people's skills seems so. It's wild to me that this wasn't a True Detective season one kind of like homage. Everything I've read says that, like, you know, this was kind of independent project that then had some superficial things in season one bolted onto it, but like the parallels really run deep.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's been very superficially related. It's pretty solidly related, as best I can tell.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Maybe there's quite a bit of rewrites when it got...
There must have been,
positioned to a True Detective project. Oh, no, not chat talking about the camo bed sheets. Oh, not chat talking about the camo bed sheets. Come on. The man's down. The man's down. Did you notice that underneath all the... Yeah.
No, who did I say? Was fixated on the pedals.
Yeah, no,
I think that's what he was hoping.
There's been a camouflage, the camouflage?
Yeah. It would hide the camouflage and she wouldn't even see it.
The camo bed sheets. Ugh. Wow.
Well, he's not enough flower petals. He's the man who knows what he likes, you know? We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause. We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on a series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
And now, back with more Bald Move. Well, I think that we should find some white noise machines and just put those on the podcast for the next 3 hours. What's with the white noise machines?
I think Liz has a hard time being alone with her thoughts. Seems like she needs
something
to drown them out.
She's hearing it when she's not using the machine, too. Like, I noticed in one of those scenes, she's looking at the video, or she's just sitting at her table and there's just white noise playing, but It's not, I'm pretty sure it's not a white noise machine at that point. It's just kind of on the soundtrack. But is it in her head? What are they trying to do with that? They're trying to tell her that she just is unable to think right now.
I'd have to see it again before I rule out the fact that it was a white noise machine, because it's been a white noise machine most of the time. But
if
like
it
I
is,
feel
it's
like
off
it's
screen somewhere, but
it's like anytime she gets a moment's notice, she starts hallucinating about Holden and Jake, and we're getting more and more facts about her. Like, it's interesting to see, like, you can see that, like, her and Navarro probably bonded over the fact that they both lost their mothers at a tender age.
Yeah.
We found out that Liz lost her mom when she was 7 years old. Did we find out how, what the circumstances were? I didn't think so.
No.
They're slow kind of rolling that out. But like you can see how the women had kind of a lot in common there, and that Liz, you know, was always kind of like a misanthrope, but it kicked into a whole nother gear when she lost Holden and Jake. That was interesting.
Yeah, there's a little bit of info about, you know, why she was moved up here to Innes a little bit more. She was a mess because of, yeah, Holden and Jake. Connelly mm-hmm. tells us that, and mm-hmm. he moved her up here not because of some falling out with them or some improper thing she did. She just started being an asshole, telling people they sucked at their jobs when they sucked at their jobs.
So he had to move her up there because you can't fire crappy cops. That was the only...
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
There's less people up here.
But she was a good cop. She was just an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good detective, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough situation to be in as mm-hmm. a police officer. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we want to talk about. I noticed that, like, Navarro seems like she doesn't really like Connelly and doesn't want him involved in the case. I thought it was interesting that Danvers is trying to kind of, like, keep that, you know, can't kind of keep a buffer there. But, like, I feel like that's the case with Danvers and almost everybody. Like, she has these uncomfortable relationships with everyone in town. The poor physics teacher, geology teacher, whatever. His mistress showing up mm-hmm. with official state business on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole kind of current of, like, God, this, like, I get it. This is an active murder investigation or whatever. But, like, man, I don't know. Where did you think? Because I felt like this is like BFE Alaska. Why are we working so hard on Christmas Eve? That's probably not it. That's a civilian thing to say, not a Alaskan police force thing to say. But I kept on.
Yeah, I mean,
what if we just wait till tomorrow or even the next day? Clark dies on the ice and the trade. Yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah, wait till after Christmas. But no, I mean, that's probably a rational, normal thing to do. But Liz is neither of those things. I mean, she's a little maniacal, you know.
I do wonder what the hell she ran Pete ragged with before the big murder case, because, like, not every day do you have eight scientists go out in the ice apparently kill themselves. So, like, it seems like there's a lot of long-standing bitterness about how Liz has kind of, like, made him a workaholic. But, like, what the fuck is there to do up there?
Get a lot of coffee for her.
Like, yeah.
It's 4:30 a.m. I'm awake. Get me some coffee, Pete. Get out of bed.
Even if I grant that, like, Pete really wants to look good to Liz because she's a super cop with a super cop reputation and she wants to, you know, live up to those ideals. There's just not that much opportunity to distinguish yourself up there, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
He could really clean up a caribou carcass. I'll tell you that. He's great at it. He gets out there with a snow shovel and just one big scoop right off the road. It was interesting to me that his wife, you know, there's clearly, like, a lot of tension there, but in her phone, he's listed as Pryor. Was that weird to you?
The who was listed? Oh,
Pryor.
I don't.
His name on her phone was Pryor. That's strange to me.
I feel like some couples have that relationship where she'll.
For your husband in your phone.
Yeah, I guess that is weird. But I've known it happen. But it's always in, like, these weird. Actually, I've never known in real life. It's always been like a slightly antagonistic will they won't they relationship on some kind of cop drama. You know. Where they start off,
so it's
like
shorthand kind of for tension.
I think so, maybe. It's like a military family would do something like that, you know? Listed as Corporal, like, Pryor or something.
If your dad's a major, it just says major on your phone. Yeah. Sir. I don't know. I thought that was weird, but yeah, I mean, if it's shorthand for tension, I was picking it up because there's a lot there.
There was some comedy. I really like Danvers, like, exclamation. Something I've been saying for weeks now and getting some about him flack for it, of, like, going to Liz, like, have you fucked everyone in this town?
Uh-huh.
I really like how Rose got all fancy for Christmas Eve. She's got really nobody mm-hmm. to do it for, but she's just, like, fucking celebrating it right.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Did she know Evangeline was going to drop by, or did she just, like, I'm celebrating?
Yeah, I don't get the impression that she knew she was coming by. This is just, I'm taking a day for me. I'm just going to cook all day. I'm going to bake these cakes. I'm going to make rolls and turkey and just doing it upright. Because what else do I have to do? Just live my life.
I definitely felt that, I just talk so much noise. I sometimes feel that way about the podcast. You know, it's like, what? I just recorded a 2.5 hour podcast on a 50-minute episode. What the fuck am I, you know?
And I don't remember any of it 20 minutes later.
I need to move to Alaska after all this, Jim. Leave it all behind.
To me, that was saying Rose kind of had, you know, a mental breakdown. I mean, she was sitting there doing her work, and suddenly she realized, my life is meaningless. Yeah. I have nothing going on. All of this stuff I'm doing is completely pointless. I mean, that's a mental breakdown.
Was she involved in like climate research? Because I noticed she made a couple snide remarks about it, and I was kind of like half paying attention to her monologue and half not, and like looking at Navarro's face and all that. And I wish I could have watched it again, because I wonder if that's a theme of because I've actually talked to two or three climate scientists in real life, and they're without exception extremely depressed people.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's like, yeah, there are a lot of reasons for a climate scientist to be depressed right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she didn't mention what she is. She just said, I was writing very, very important papers at a very important school over very important things.
That's my speculation, that she is doing climate study and trying to do papers and doing, you know, the IPCC estimates and stuff. And it's just like, you get to a point where like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm worse than the guys playing the violin on the Titanic, because no one's listening to, everyone's even denying that the thing is sinking. No one's even panicking because they don't know the boat's sinking. Why am I here? You know, but maybe I'm reading into that.
Yeah.
But I did like her living a little fancy old lady life. And then I also really liked everything about Connolly's affect about Liz coming to his door. He was in full Santa Claus needs some loving mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad Liz was like drunk and belligerent, because,
yeah,
for Christ's sake, it's Christmas and you're busting my balls. What else we got to talk about?
That's probably it for now. Obviously, we'll have a lot more to say on Tuesday.
Yeah. A couple other notes before we let the general public away. I keep getting conflicting messages about what's going on next week. I've gotten Half Sight saying that they're skipping the week. The HBO's own schedule on the website lists it as premiering this Sunday night. I don't know if it will release Friday night, like they did with the Last of Us last week. The problem is like, I've got an event that I booked a while ago that lasts from like I'm taking Friday off work. It's like Friday morning to like Sunday late-ish at night. There's no way. I was really kind of hoping, and I know Jim was going to be gone Sunday night too, so like, unless it does get pushed back. Well, I mean, either way, I don't think there's any way we're going to be able to have an instant talk tomorrow next week.
Yeah,
super sorry about that. Hopefully HBO will kick this back, but like I'm the only places that are writing about the schedule change are writing confidently that it's skipping a week. But HBO, yeah. So like I'm hoping this week some people, like some reputable sources and stuff, write about it and confirm it one way or another. But like at this point, it doesn't really matter, because we're not in a position, unfortunately, to do the instant talk. So we will be back for the finale though. And hopefully they'll, I don't know about hopefully, because I know some people don't want to miss it, but if you're hoping for an instant take for it, hopefully it gets pushed past the Super Bowl week. True Detective of baldmove.com is how you send in feedback to the main podcast. Let us smell your psycho fear, and follow us at all of our social medias at baldmove. And if you want to get access to the live instant talk or take podcast, as well as the following talk show, Instant Talk, where you can join our YouTube chat and interact with us, ask questions, etc., please become a supporter at Bald Move. Support.baldmove.com to get instant access. Be ready for next week.